go and get advice through your external accountant to a professional like myself that can then talk about, well, how do we possibly restructure the business? Is it possible to get a compromise of the ATO debt to help move forward? But leaving it too late and or sort of just putting your head in the sand is not an action strategy.
Welcome to the Business Behind Your Business podcast, where we have the conversations to help your business grow and thrive. I'm your host, Paul Sweeney, and we're joined again today by Bruce Gleeson from Jones Partners Insolvency.
Bruce, welcome back.
Thank you, Paul. Good to be back. And we're talking today about what's currently going on with the Australian Taxation Office and why is it a little bit worried about the level of debt that it's trying to collect at the moment. So let's sort of look at why it is a little bit concerned at the moment. In a recent statement, one of the deputy commissioners said that its collectible debt is sitting at $30 billion and that most of that is owed by the SME sector. And what was important coming out of that statement was a few other indications that suggest that the ATO do have a desire to rein that in. And it's these three points. We have to ensure there is no unfair competition from those who don't meet their obligations. We do need to pay for the services the community needs. And we also recognise that there will be businesses that are no longer viable, such that an early exit is in the best interest of the principals of that business as well as creditors. Now, that might sound a little bit bleak or indeed maybe a little bit strong, but when we look at the fact that what happened during COVID was that the ATO basically suspended all collection activity, and then last year when it started to become reinvigorated, what it did was it initially sent out in the early part of calendar year 2022 a whole range of warning letters, and then following on from that, it started to issue a whole range of director penalty notices, and it's that hopefully we'll unpack more of in this session. But in calendar year 2022, it issued 18,000 director penalty notices, all to directors warning them about their potential personal liability for company taxes such as pay-as-you-go, for GST, and for superannuation guarantee charge obligations. So as we've moved into 2023, what we're seeing is a continuation by the ATO of issuing director penalty notices. And we're also seeing it now start to revert back to some of its more traditional sort of ways, if I can call it that, where in addition to using the director penalty notice regime, it's issuing statutory demands for the debts that the companies have to the ATO. And that's a precursor to then lodging a winding up application against the company if that debt is then not dealt with by the director or directors. Certainly, there is a momentum now where the ATO are in collection mode. And I think there's some important messages hopefully we can unpack in this session. Make sure that directors do understand the importance of these notices and how there's some things that can be done to certainly mitigate or minimise exposure for company taxes.
Okay. So, Bruce, let's just go back a step. What is a director's penalty notice?
Basically, let's go back way into history and indeed back into 1993, because what happened then is the ATO acknowledged that it, in giving up some of its priority for certain debts to be paid in a liquidation scenario, it said, well, if we're giving up those priorities, we now want to introduce a director penalty notice regime. And back then, the first component of it was for pay-as-you-go tax, so the tax that's deducted out of the employee's wage or salary. Over the years, that director penalty notice regime has been progressively strengthened and broadened to the point where in 2012, it was extended to superannuation guarantee charge contributions. Plus, it introduced a lockdown provision, which we'll talk more about. And then it was further strengthened in 2019 and then in April 2020, where it was expanded to include GST. So in effect, when we look at the obligations for superannuation guarantee, for pay-as-you-go and GST, they're now all in the mix that a director can be personally liable for. And basically what the ATO has done is it has pierced the corporate veil a little bit. Now, certainly the progressive strengthening and broadening of its ability to reach out and collect more of those taxes, I think has, you know, occurred because as time has gone on and it collects more data about what businesses' views are about paying the tax office as opposed to paying other creditors, it's trying to really say, look, we are a creditor that should be treated just like other creditors in your business, but there is a penalty if you don't do that to the director in certain circumstances. So the director penalty notice regime is really, really critical for directors to understand that it can really expose them to some significant liability, and an awareness about that and how it can be managed is key.
Because I think you mentioned the corporate veil, and that whole corporate veil is where directors have limited liability, is a reason a lot of people have set up their business through a company structure. But I guess that liability is really not in the best interest of the whole community and the stakeholders, in this case being the employees who often miss out.
Yeah, look, and I think that was covered in the first of those three points, that we have to ensure there's no unfair competition. So if at the heart of it you've got two businesses in, say, civil construction, and one of them basically is quoting on the basis that they're paying all of the pay-as-you-go, all of the superannuation guarantee and all of the GST is included in their cost price, for want of a better term, and then you've got another business that's saying, oh, well, look, I'm not really too concerned. I know if I can go in sharper on price that I'll worry about those taxes another day. Well, just on that analysis alone, that's promoting uneven competition between two businesses that are pitching for the same work. And if you play that out to its extreme, that's covered in that first point where the ATO is saying we don't want it to create unfair competition because a director thinks that they can get away with not paying those taxes.
And I guess the situation that might arise as well is where you have multiple directors of a company, one director of which is responsible for the finance function and the payment of wages and tax. So the other directors may not be directly responsible for the finance function, but they could be held liable under these director penalty notices for those actions.
It's absolutely right, Paul. And certainly whether or not you're talking about a more classical structure where you've got husband and wife running the business and they're both directors, then, or in the example you've just given, which again is not uncommon at all, the liability is to all the directors. And therefore, even when you're a new director coming on, you need to basically make sure that you've done a level of due diligence or you've had somebody engaged by you to do that level of due diligence, because you've only got a very small period of time to basically remedy that situation before then you become also liable for the past debts, the tax debts, that is, of the business. So really, it's an important thing to understand because, as I said, there are some fairly significant things that, you know, directors can do to make sure that they mitigate their exposure here.
And so what are some of the things that the directors should be doing?
Yeah, well, I think first and foremost, in terms of the way in which the ATO can proceed with the director penalty notices, you know, our advice is make sure you're lodging your BASs on time, all the time. Because even if you need to subsequently amend a BAS, well, you've still lodged and you've lodged within the time frame. So what that actually then means is that firstly, you've complied with your lodgement obligations, and then in relation to this type of penalty notice called a lockdown notice, that can only be issued where the ATO is satisfied that you as a director have both a tax debt that's unreported and unpaid for 3 months after the due date. So by at least lodging, you stop that automatic liability being sheeted home to you. So that's one very important message that should be really clear. If you're going to try and mitigate your exposure, you need to lodge and lodge on time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so lodging on time, and so that's the first step. And second step?
The second step, which goes to your point, is that all directors need to understand that they've got an exposure for it. So again, there should be, as part of a regular review, an understanding of how the ATO debt is accumulating or otherwise being dealt with. And certainly across those categories of pay-as-you-go GST and SGC. Obviously, GST, if I can just sort of touch on that for a moment, I still think that there's a good chunk of directors out there that don't realise there's now a personal liability for GST. And I say that because it came in April 2020, which was during COVID, and with the ATO suspending effectively all of its collection activities during that period, it sort of snuck in. And up until that, some directors would have been aware about pay-as-you-go and SGC, but I think there's a good chunk of them that have forgotten that it's now also been extended to GST. So have an awareness and have a discipline about forcing yourself to know what that exposure is, what that company exposure is across those three levels. And then importantly, what is your plan to deal with it? Apart from lodging, which we touched on a few moments ago, what is your plan for dealing with it? Because you know, Paul, as a chartered accountant, that what the ATO is saying with this is that if you as a business get into a point where you may not be able to pay the full amount as and when it's due, engage with us and work out a payment plan. And the ATO will say that if you take that proactive stance and engage with them and you can demonstrate that you've got good lodgement practice, by and large, the ATO is going to engage positively with you on that score. So what I say is that don't ignore the ATO, because you ignore the ATO either by not lodging or not paying or both, and you're creating something that you could have really significantly curtailed.
Mm-hmm. So the steps that you can take, even when you're in a situation where you might not be able to pay those debts immediately, but there are steps that you can take.
Absolutely. And, you know, the starting point there is working with your external accountant to basically put a payment plan in place. But if for whatever reason that happens, and then let's say that you just can't meet that payment plan and the ATO may not be prepared to continue renegotiating that payment plan, I guess that's when, you know, there does need to be a proper consideration of, well, what is the financial health of the business? Why is it that even on a payment plan, the company's not in a position to meet that or any sort of subsequent variant of that? So that, I think, is then the point at which you've got to look at the financial health of the business. But even then, if the business has lodged its activity statements on time, even if it hasn't paid, there will still be an opportunity, even if at some point down the track, the ATO does issue a director penalty notice to the directors, then they will have a 21-day period to take some fairly radical action. There's four options, and it'd be one, to pay the debt, two, to basically then consider a small business restructuring plan, which is effectively an external administration option, voluntary liquidation or voluntary administration. They're all things and options available in those circumstances where the financial health of the business may be somewhat precarious. But importantly, there is still the option that as long as the director complies with one of those four points in the penalty notice, that they can remit or avoid the personal liability being passed on to them. And so what I simply say is that, look, director penalty notices is something that I'm very familiar with in terms of the way they're structured and the way they're worded. But what we've also got to understand is that they are sent by the ATO to the director's residential address. It is not necessarily something where the tax agent for the director or the business is going to get immediate notification. So there's a couple of important points there. Make sure that your residential address is updated on the company's register, because if you have moved recently or if you've just been a little bit lax in not updating it and it goes to an old address, it's not really going to stand up as a legitimate defence. So make sure the company register is kept up to date. That's point number one. And point number two is, if directors understand that their tax agent's not necessarily going to get the same immediacy in terms of the notification that they do, then understand that that 21 days can drift by pretty quickly. Don't put the notice on the kitchen bench. Don't sort of leave it in the study waiting to open it weeks later. And I'd simply say the notice itself does contain some language that should raise a director's attention to it. And open the letter and send it to your external accountant as a matter of priority, because that is then when we've got some opportunity to hopefully do something about it. The thing about the director penalty notice itself is that it is something that, in my experience, a good chunk of directors still probably don't understand the significance of the notice. And so many times I'm told, oh, yeah, look, I didn't think it was sort of anything that significant. Now, there's situations where a lot of liability can be effectively avoided if they'd acted earlier. And so it's difficult, because I understand that some directors probably don't appreciate the importance of it, but I guess what we're hoping to at least do in this segment is say to directors, you can be personally liable for all those taxes, GST, pay-as-you-go, SGC, and to that extent, be aware that you can be, and at least lodge on time.
And look, I think the other thing there is that the director's penalty notice is not the first stage of the communication from the ATO. To be fair to the ATO, they do make a number of steps, a number of actions to try and resolve this outstanding payment well before they issue a director's penalty notice.
It's very true, and it goes back to what we've talked about earlier. If there's a level of engagement with the ATO, there is a fairly long runway that you've got before you get to a director penalty notice. And so it is the case that, you know, what we've seen coming out of COVID is the ATO issuing so many director penalty notices. But even that, you know, was covered off the back of first some warning letters, signalling the intention that we might issue director penalty notices. That then sort of led to that 18,000 odd sort of being issued in 2022 and continuing on in 2023. And I think the reality is that there's still a lot of legacy debt that is sitting out there that certain businesses have. And so if they haven't taken the opportunity to sit down with their external accountant and talk about how they might deal with that, then they should be, because what fundamentally needs to be thought about is, well, if a family business may be turning over $2 or $3 million, has some legacy debt sort of in the vicinity of $300,000 or $400,000, what's its net profit on a good year, mm-hmm. and how long is it actually going to take to pay off that legacy debt? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it does require a little bit of evaluation about, well, how long, if I trade profitably over the next few years, is it going to take me? And that's fundamentally important in the context of, well, what payment plan can I maybe look to negotiate with the ATO? And does that then sort of mean that I've got enough cash to do that? So that's where fundamentally sitting down with an external accountant and saying, do these numbers work, if we sort of put it that way? But the director penalty notice is something that is not going to go away. And what probably concerns me the most, Paul, and it is this, there are so many expired director penalty notices at the moment, given the large amount that was issued last year. So what do I mean by expired director penalty notices? It's basically where the ATO has sent it to the director, the 21 days has expired. And so what then happens in those circumstances is that that liability is now sort of locked down against the director. And if the director looks at their MyGov account and they'll go into their ATO portal, they'll see that there's a nice little surprise there for them, which is basically the company debt for GST or pay-as-you-go is now sitting against their account. And that will sit there and sit there and sit there until it is dealt with. Mm. And so there is that sleeping giant issue that the director has personally then. And that's something that directors also need to then appreciate. It's sitting there, and then when they're going for finance to maybe buy a home or refinance their home or do something else, that will show up.
Yeah. I think there are a lot of sleepers hiding there that people just aren't aware of. And look, I know you mentioned the need to keep your addresses up to date with the regulatory bodies and ASIC particularly. We've come across the one prospect where they've come to us and said, suddenly my company's been deregistered by ASIC. I said, well, have you moved? He said, well, I moved 3 years ago. But so non-payment of the annual renewal fee. And, of course, the ASIC keeps sending the notices to the address on file. You've got to keep up to date with your records and your obligations.
Yeah, look, there's that company secretarial and sort of governance issue. And it's not an overly taxing thing, but again, it's just having a process for it. Mm. And, you know, even considering, well, who should be the directors of the business? If one director potentially is personally liable for maybe some of the ATO debts and maybe some other debts that are being guaranteed, carefully considering, you know, who should be the directors of the business is another thing. But it's clear, it's very clear that the ATO is certainly in recovery mode at the moment. What will it be doing throughout the balance of 2023? Well, it's fairly clear from its statements that it's going to continue with this recovery activity. Certainly the number of statutory demands, which as I explained earlier is the precursor to a winding up application, the number of statutory demands is certainly in an uptick mode as well. And so the director penalty notices coupled with the statutory demands is really about saying to these businesses that haven't engaged with the ATO, we are now looking at taking further action. Mm. And I simply say to directors, stay as much as you can in control of the financial affairs of the business. Don't ignore those things. Go and get advice through your external accountant to a professional like myself that can then talk about, well, how do we possibly restructure the business? Is it possible to get a compromise of the ATO debt to help move forward? But leaving it too late and or sort of just putting your head in the sand is not an action strategy. Mm-hmm. And to that extent, it is something that we've talked, for example, about the ATO and the fact that it is in sort of full collection mode at the moment, but equally too, State Revenue New South Wales was very quiet during COVID as well, and I've started to see it become a little bit more active in terms of the collectible debt that's accumulated as well. So that's, you know, for certain businesses that have payroll tax liabilities, that's another aspect that's starting to get momentum as well. But it's probably reasonable to say that the State Revenue New South Wales hasn't anywhere near as aggressively used the director penalty notice regime as the ATO. So today, what we're trying to do is say to directors, beware that this director penalty notice regime is there. It has been used in the past. It's now being used again after a hiatus period during COVID. But there are ways that you can sort of mitigate the loss. We've talked about some of those in this session about lodging and lodging on time, and also just the whole engagement piece with the ATO. Don't treat them as a poor cousin, because quite often that's what we see, is that because the business is not having to speak to them every day to order new things or to transact in any way. They tend to be sort of the creditor of last resort, and they're not a banker to the business.
Yeah, so I guess we've covered a lot there, but I guess in summing up, as a director of the business, there's a number of things that you should be on top of. And one is, are your lodgements up to date? What debts have you got outstanding? What taxes or obligations have you not paid, or has your business not paid? And then what's the capacity of your business to be able to extinguish those debts and meet its obligations on an on-time basis going forward?
Absolutely. And, you know, if the answer to those questions, Paul, is we're not sure that there's enough cash being generated in the business moving forward to basically pay some of the legacy debt, even if it's on some kind of payment plan, then there's got to be a further discussion around, well, what other options might there be to try and get some compromise of the ATO debt? And certainly I will say that a piece of legislation that came out during COVID called the Small Business Restructuring Legislation, that was sort of brought out to try and classically deal with businesses that had debt levels up to about $1 million. So typically aimed at your small to family businesses. And we've done a number of small business restructuring plans where the ATO has been the main creditor. And I will say that the ATO in many circumstances is supportive of that. But where the ATO will engage more proactively is where there is a level, or at least attempts to engage with them, either before that kind of process I just mentioned or even during it. What the ATO wants to see is that at least there's been some attempt to try and engage with them and reach some kind of agreement with the ATO. That's really key. Ignoring the ATO, you're ignoring them at your own peril. Mm. And I think that recovery process that they've got going at the moment is not going to slow down because of the level of collectible debt. So I guess a couple of final points is that don't ignore these notices. But as we've already canvassed, you're going to get, you know, advance warning prior to a notice like that being issued. So don't ignore those opportunities to connect with your external accountant or other professional advisor and say, what do we need to do here? What do we need to be careful about? Don't ignore the problem, because the problem will not go away if you ignore it.
Mm, absolutely. Well, thanks. Thank you, Bruce. It's been great to go through that and clarify what is actually going on in this space with the recovery and what a director's penalty notice is. So I think, as you mentioned very clearly, a lot of people are in the dark as to what it actually means and what's at risk here. So thanks for clarifying that for us. So we're going to put some links to some more content about director's penalty notices in the show notes. And as Bruce said, reach out to your advisor, your accountant, if you do receive one of those first. But if you do need help in restructuring your business, I'm sure Bruce and his team at Jones Partners would love to have a chat with you and help you in any way they can.
Thanks, Paul.
Not a problem. Great. Thank you for listening. The key points we've raised in the discussion are in the show notes and also on the businessbehindyourbusiness.com website. So go and check those out. And if you missed a past episode, please visit the website and have a look. And particularly if you like what Bruce has had to say, go back and check out some of his previous episodes where he's given some really good advice as well.
Thank you.